Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Choir of Ely Cathedral with the Lenten hymn, The Royal Banners Forward Go. It's playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. LutheranPublicRadio.org is sacred music for the world. You can listen to it anytime because it's 24/7. And I would say practically anywhere, on your iPad, on your iPhone, most mobile devices, on your PC, on your Mac, at iTunes Radio. It's everywhere, and it's 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. And as you can hear right there, following the course of the church's year, it's Lent. And so there's a Lenten emphasis in the music at LutheranPublicRadio.org. And coming Easter, at the very end of March, you will hear the Easter emphasis as well. LutheranPublicRadio.org. There are very few people in church history that inspire this way. I mean, all the stories that Scripture tells us of the Old and New Testament saints have an inspirational quality to them. I'm talking about how it is they fascinate, and then they show us something of ourselves and of our lives. They in essence, kind of preach law and gospel to us, their example. And then there are those that come after the biblical era, and there are very few that stand at the same caliber as Polycarp, who is known mostly for his aged martyrdom. But there's more to Polycarp than simply being old and being martyred, and the amazing account of his martyrdom. We're going to find out what that is. Joining us to talk about first century bishop and martyr Polycarp of Smyrna, who's remembered on the 23rd of February, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Always good to be here.
Let's talk about that event for which he is probably most famous, his martyrdom. How did he die?
He was burned at the stake in front of a cheering crowd.
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Well, they were going to throw him to the beasts, but then, I mean, the whole thing, it's so interesting because we have what is very rare in the apostolic era or in later Christianity, we have an authentic account of his martyrdom. You know, we have a lot of legendary martyrdoms, a lot of stories of martyrs, you know, in the 4th, 5th, 6th centuries and onward that have been, you know, elaborated, a lot of Christian imagination added. But even most critical scholars agree that the martyrdom of Polycarp is authentic, that it dates from the time he was killed, which is probably in 156, February 23rd, 156. And it's fascinating for its detail. He's brought in by the proconsular governor of the province. That means a man who had been a consul of Rome and is now, you know, out in the sticks taking care of this province in Asia Minor. And he's brought in and accused of atheism, which is the charge that Christians were murdered under because they did not worship the gods of the Roman state religion. And so they were considered as atheists. And there are so many details in this. We got to get at least one of my favorites. And so the proconsul, who is this, you know, very worldly, very educated guy, you know, he doesn't want to kill Polycarp. He thinks this is all kind of, you know, lowbrow and silly. But, you know, so he just tells him, look, Polycarp, just burn some incense to the genius of Caesar. That is, you know, acknowledge that the spirit of Caesar guides the empire, and say, away with the atheists, and you'll be fine. And Polycarp, read this, with solemn countenance, looked upon the whole multitude of lawless heathen that were in the stadium, waved his hand at them, and groaning, looked up to heaven and said, away with the atheists. And so, you know, it's and it only gets better from there. I mean, so you get a real sense of Polycarp's personality. You know, he's another time he tells the governor, look, you know, I've been serving my Lord Christ for 86 years. He's never done anything bad to me. Why would I deny him now? And on and on and on, all kinds of great quips. He was quite a character as well. He goes to his martyrdom not only with faith but with panache.
Why not just a pinch of incense to the brilliance of Caesar? And why not, if he can say away with the atheists of the heathen that surround him in the stadium, why can't he say that, since it's also a – I mean, we'd argue today, hey, the Romans didn't understand the Christian religion. They're not atheists. He could say it with a clear conscience because he'd be denying something that and still be able to retain his beliefs because the Romans didn't know what Christianity was all about.
Yeah, this gets to the heart of why the Christians were really murdered. They were killed as political dissenters. And the Romans have no interest in religion. You know, they made a deal with, for example, I mean, they cut a deal going way back to the first century B.C. with the Jews. You know, they let them have their religion. There was no great persecution of Jews, except when the Jews were politically revolting against Rome. The Christians, likewise, are not killed for their religion from the Roman perspective. They are killed because they called Christ king and not Caesar. They are killed because they acknowledged something higher than the Roman state, which for Rome is the Roman religion. And so there was no middle ground. To drop the pinch of incense to Caesar was to say he is Lord instead of Christ. To say Christ is Lord is a political statement. And so this is fresh for Christians today, especially in an American landscape where there are so many competing, you know, quasi-Christian voices who want to almost deify the American state. The martyrdom of Polycarp is a great document to read to remind us, put not your trust in princes, they are but men. Christ is Lord and King, and nobody else on earth is.
What did the martyrdom of Polycarp, not only among his contemporaries, but also in the centuries that followed and waves of persecution would come and go, some of them greater than others, what did it do by way of encouraging Christians who would face persecution?
Two things. One, the obvious thing is, you know, here is this wonderful story of this very old man who bravely goes to his death, and not only bravely, but also with a bit of wit and style. And so that's very, you know, uplifting for someone who might be facing martyrdom. But interestingly enough, the first couple pages of the Martyrdom of Polycarp is dedicated to telling people, do not go looking for martyrdom. And the first story the Martyrdom of Polycarp tells is about a fellow, a Christian, who kind of volunteered, you know, to go to the stadium, turned himself in, as it were, and then he chickened out and did end up denying his faith. And the editor of the Martyrdom makes the note, hey, this is why you don't go looking for martyrdom. It is not something to be sought after. If the Lord wants you to be a martyr, you'll end up as a martyr. Don't go looking for it. And so that kind of, again, this marks this as a true document at the time that is giving sage advice. I mean, it's from the real world. This is not one of those legendary medieval martyrdoms. This is a real world document giving good, solid advice and a true picture of Polycarp.
two quick final questions with about 30 seconds apiece. Given the fact that he dies in 156, he's 86 years old, that would put his birth at 70 AD. Could he have, in fact, at least, if not literally and figuratively, sat at the feet of John the Apostle?
Yeah, that's a pretty early tradition going back to Papias, that Polycarp did, in fact, know John in John's later years in Asia Minor. So, yeah, I mean, he could have been a man in young maturity in his 20s when John was still alive. So that's certainly a possibility, but it's not claimed in Polycarp's martyrdom necessarily.
Finally, why should the church set aside a day to observe the person and work of a second century martyr like St. Polycarp? 30 seconds.
For the same reason we acknowledge all the martyrs as an inspiration to our faith, to turn away from the world in every aspect of our life, for if they've even shed their blood, then certainly we can look to their faith for inspiration to deny ourselves in our everyday life and cling to Christ alone.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Folks, if you're a fan of the early church, check out the New Issues, Etc. YouTube video titled A Cloud of Witnesses. It's really good. You'll find it under the support page at issuesetc.org. Heath, thank you.
Always good to be here, Todd.
Well, we have not only their example, and I mentioned before their inspiration, but we have their faith. The same faith by which Polycarp was willing to go gladly to death with the name of Christ on his lips and refusing to submit to the pressure to simply offer that pinch of incense in honor of Caesar. The same faith is ours. Now, we don't have a Caesar, we don't have pinches of incense, but we have the same pressure upon us to forsake the name of Christ in subtle and in overt ways. We hold fast to the faith, for Christ is faithful. When we come back, we're going to talk about kind of inconceivable denial of laws against violence against women in both Egypt and Afghanistan and their connection to Islam with Dr. Alvin Schmidt.
In the 1500s, the reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.